When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage. What time is
that? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, save 50% off all window styles, plus a bonus 10% off and zero interest for 6 years. Book now at 866-90-NATION or at windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest. Total request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Get your votes in. Featured artist Friday. All of that happens on the Plaza Ford text line. At 410-583-1057, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We're going to hear from Zach Gore coming up here in a second, but let's get out to the phones, because you can join us, News from the Nest style, if you choose to do so. Talk about the Steelers-Ravens rivalry. How do you feel about it? Why you hate the Steelers? Where did the angst come from? Because a lot of people, when Nolan was born, the Ravens had just started as an entity, but some of us older people remember when Pittsburgh was beating the Colts, et cetera, et cetera. And if you have a prediction for the game, we'll listen to that too. Let's go to Minnesota. It is Sean. Sean, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Ben, I'm frozen, man. I've been out shoveling snow. We got 8 inches out here in Gopher Town.
Damn.
Yeah. But I had you guys on the loudspeaker. And so I've been drinking my coffee, and I got fired up then, Haney. I mean, I'm wanting to talk about it.
You got any Baileys in that coffee?
No, unfortunately not.
Bourbon or something?
I wish, man. No, just I tell you what, that Starbucks though, man. Actually, this morning I got a Caribou, which is kind of really popular out here in Minnesota.
Yep. No.
In any case, I was thinking about the question at hand, and I'll say initially, before they realigned everything, I didn't really hate the Steelers. I loved Jerome Bettis back then. I thought he was the man.
Yeah.
Number 36. I was more back then, if you want to talk 96, 7, 8, and 9, so on. For me, it was more at the time. It was more Tennessee. Was that heated rival.
And Jacksonville to some level,
and
too.
And Jacksonville to some level, that's right. But then when they realigned again, I'm going to tell you where it really went off for me and who did it to me. I'm going to say it was really number 86. He would have, Hines Ward, yep. He would hit some of our guys, Todd Heap. He would hit some of our guys, not Heap, but he was such a dirty player sometimes, and then he flashed that freaking smile. Ooh, whenever I saw that thing, I just wanted to So I have to say that's kind of where it really started for me, was in that era of Ravens football.
When he lit up. Hey, thanks, Sean. We got to get out to more stuff here. Sean in Minnesota, by the way, be careful shoveling that snow.
8 inches, hoofta.
But, Ed Reed was the recipient of that shot, as you recall, Nolan. And what made it so egregious, it was opposite side of the field from the play. It wasn't even relevant to what was going on around the ball. He just got Ed Reed wasn't paying attention, and Hines Ward lit him up, which was lame.
Hines Ward, a common theme today. Text line flooded with Hines Ward. I mean, he's got to be the ultimate villain in the rivalry because of what Sean just said. The smile. He knew exactly what he was doing.
It
was all intentional, but he played it so well. And what really made it good, at least for him, is that, you know, he, let's be honest, he was dirty. He would take cheap shots. But his personality, it was a little more, what do you say, flamboyant. I remember they ran like some preview stories ahead of a Ravens Steelers primetime game about how Hines Ward takes his hands very seriously. Catch the ball is very important to him. And he would get manicures and all that. And, you know, it's this routine with his hands. And everyone's like, oh, this pansy, this soft guy over here. But on the football field, he'd light you up.
Remember the infamous Shannon Sharpe comment back, or you were still a little kid, called Plaxico Burress Plexiglass?
Yeah,
when the Ravens played him in 2001. But anyway, yeah, we hate the Steelers. Forgot about that. But let's get back to the task at hand, and it's coming up this Saturday against Pittsburgh. And, you know, Hines Ward's a finalist for the Hall of Fame, whether you like it or not. But George Pickens might not play, but the Ravens have gotten better in the back end of the defensive backfield. Safety in particular, Zach Ward, what's up with that?
I think that part of it is having Kayham back there. You know, he stabilizes that unit, stabilizes the defense in the back end. Like, those guys look for him for answers, and he's a real smart player, so he get everybody lined up quickly. And then I just think the emergence of our Darius Washington. I mean, he was our starting nickel last year. He was having a heck of a start of season, then he had the unfortunate injury, and he just picked up where he left off at throughout camp. And I think when we finally gave him his opportunity, he went out there and made the most of it, and I think he's really becoming a real good NFL starting caliber safety. So I think the combination of those two things, those two guys work well together. They both can cover man coverage, play zone, and tackle really well. So I think the combination of that is really what you've seen.
Yeah, the thing with Washington, too, that you like is, I mean, he gets heavily involved in the run stuff. And, you know, inside, in between the tackles and stuff, he'll come up and hit. You know, so, yeah, I mean, ever since he's taken over, that position has been played differently.
Now, Trent Simpson's a guy that replaced Patrick Queen, now in Pittsburgh, and, you know, started. There was some anticipation that he could come in and perform at an acceptable, if not above acceptable level. Well, not so much lately. So, Zach Orr, what's going on with Trent Simpson?
Yeah, I look at it just as, you know, opportunity for some other guys to get in there and give us something that, you know, we kind of been missing, kind of help stabilize position. And Trent's still part of that. I think he's had a good year. He has some ups and downs, but I think he just got to learn, you know, just watch and just understand everything. I think he can improve on everything just like anybody else. So I don't think it's a big deal in the sense of what he has to learn going forward. I just think that he just got to continue like everybody else to get better. And I told him, like, we're going to need you, you know, before the year over. Probably going to maybe need him this game. So he's definitely not out of the picture.
Yeah. What I'm guessing a lot of stuff that he's missing. I mean, just like watching the last Steeler game and stuff is he plays tentative at times. He misses a lot of tackles. He gets too engulfed, and he can't get off of blocks. That's one of the biggest things is he stays locked on, and he plays too high. So then he's got no leverage, and he's got no ass. You know, he's got no explosion. So, I mean, to me, that's what I see watching him on tape. And then with Board and Harrison, they bring a much bigger – they play much bigger.
Was Zach Ward basically saying – and it was praise with concern that he plays reading between the lines if somebody gets hurt.
Oh, that's the only way he plays. Yeah, he's special teamer. He's going to get his 11, 12 snaps on teams.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan will come back, and we're going to get to buy or sell. We're going to count that late week money. Christmas is less than a week from today. Think about it. When we're back next Thursday after Christmas, Ravens will have played two games, and we'll be getting all of that stuff, so stay tuned. We're going to hear more from Zach Orr later in the show, talking about those penalties on defense, which have to stop. Also, Vinny's Phil breakdown of that Pittsburgh defense. If they're minus T.J. Watt, who did practice limited yesterday, how are they affected by everything that's going to be happening in a really cold Saturday?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence, and the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At M&T.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan, here on this Total Request Thursday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, vote for a song, we'll play it. Pick a song, we'll play it, get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday, about another hour and a half before that reveal. But right now, kind of little dough. We're less than a week away from Christmas. Big sports weekend. We all want to party. And if you're coming down with us, the Brew Brothers at Horseshoe Casino, you need a couple extra bucks to maybe win some more money. Where's the dough? By yourself.
All right, Bob. The Dow's up 209. S&P's up 27. NASDAQ's up 100. DraftKings up 15 cents. Under Armour's down 7 cents.
All right, we'll kick things off here in the NFL today. David Montgomery, that knee injury suffered last Sunday, initially considered season-ending almost instantly, but as the week has progressed, the Lions have yet to place him on IR. Dan Campbell revealed that Montgomery has seen multiple doctors already and is even seeking a third opinion before deciding what he wants to do. The thought here is if the knee is actually stable enough and there's no risk of further damage, he could battle his way through the pain and try to stay out there for what's been an incredible run for Detroit so far. Vinny, are you buying or selling? We actually see Montgomery back on the field before the Lions season comes to an end.
I'm going to sell it. And my guess is he saw one doctor that's given him hope, one doctor that said he needs surgery, and then he's going to a third to be the tiebreaker.
And we'll move over to the NBA here. In the midst of so much disappointment for the 76ers this season, rookie Jared McCain was actually something positive for them. That was until he tore his meniscus and needed surgery. Prior to going down, probably your clear early season favorite for rookie of the year, Now that he's going to miss a good chunk of time, others will have a chance to catch up. But what makes this interesting is the NBA Rookie of the Year vote does not require a player to meet a minimum games played threshold. Like the MVP award, you got to play 65, I think, to be eligible for that. There's no restriction for Rookie of the Year. In theory, he could miss time, come back, and still win the award. But buy or sell, Bob, by the time McCain does return, there still won't be a clear-cut Rookie of the Year.
I'm going to sell that. Someone will rise to the occasion. I mean, Alex Saar, the kid for the Wizards, isn't having a bad year, 10.6 rebounds. Like the Sixers, they suck. You know what I mean? But the Sixers are like the 83 Sixers compared to this year's Wizards. I think, Nolan, someone is going to rise from nowhere to win the Rookie of the Year. And keep in mind, the NBA, I know it's happened twice that I can remember, where Blake Griffin missed his entire rookie season, won it the next year. Ben Simmons missed his entire rookie season, which would have been with an injury, won it the next year. Remember, Donovan Mitchell was campaigning to get it. But I don't know. If he only plays, what'd you say, 23 games, 24, whatever it is?
Well, yeah, if he never comes back,
yeah,
forget
right.
it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it happen. By the way, out of Duke, too, so we won't hold that against him.
Well, a little more here. Talk college football. Jalen Milroe, been a difficult quarterback to pin down, I guess, in terms of draft stock. Playing at Alabama certainly gave him the national spotlight to show off, but he didn't quite get his name in the mix with, you know, players like Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. Of all the latest mock drafts for CBS Sports, only one person has Jalen Milroe going in the first round. No, it's not our friend Ryan Wilson. It's Chris Trapasso. Ryan's not that crazy, I guess. Trapasso not only has him as a first rounder, but all the way up at number 8, where the Browns would currently pick if the season ended today. Vinny, buy or sell, by the time the draft does roll around, Milroe's stock will be securely in the first round.
You know what? I'll buy it just because there's going to be so many teams need it. And, you know, to get that extra year, and he'll go and he'll probably kick butt at the combine and do all those things and interview good and everything, and then somebody will take him. So I don't think top 10. But, I mean, who would, sitting here last year at the same time, would we have said Bo Nix and all these other guys were going in the top 15? No way.
Right. And what was Bo Nix was labeled a reach at the time. Look at him now. Could win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. No, the Raiders would kill for Bo Nix ahead of Bowers if they could, I would think.
A little baseball here. Cody Bellinger, the Yankees' latest offseason addition, arrived earlier this week in a trade where the Cubs practically gave him away for free. Unlike the other New York moves, though, this one less of a sure thing, a bit more of a gamble. They did need outfield help without Juan Soto, but he could settle in elsewhere. His profile as a lefty power hitter sort of goes hand in hand with Yankee Stadium, the short porch. Scott Miller was talking about that earlier. And StatCast actually projected that Bellinger would have had 6 more home runs playing his home games at Yankee Stadium this past year, which would have gave him, I think, 24 instead of 18 on the year. Now, surpassing 20 homers, it's been a rarity for him since that MVP campaign in 2019. Buy or sell, Bob, Bellinger still won't pass 20 homers in a with the change of scenery.
If he stays healthy, I'm selling it. He'll hit 20 home runs. And by the way, 20 home runs isn't the biggest deal any longer. And he's making a ton of dough. I will buy that he will not live up to what his salary per year pays him in regards to production. He's had one good year since the MVP with the Dodgers, and that was 2 years ago with the Cubs, which got him the extension there. He could play 2 positions, though, defensively, which brings some versatility to the equation. But is he Juan Soto offensively? No.
Nobody
more like LaVon Soto.
Right. Hey, no shade needed there.
Oh, sorry.
He tried his hardest.
My bad.
He might be back again and again and again. You know,
unintentional dig at a guy who has nothing to do with any of this.
All right, we'll close up shop here in the NFL. The Titans head coach Brian Callahan made a change at quarterback. They're benching Will Levis in favor of Mason Rudolph. Not enough consistency was the reason he gave earlier this week, while acknowledging just how tough that decision was. I mean, pretty standard stuff there from an NFL coach. But he did go on to say, quote, situationally in the season and where we're at, I feel like we needed a spark at the quarterback position. In case you forgot, Tennessee is 3-11, so I don't know what a spark would do for them. Final three games, Colts, Jaguars, Texans, that's all they have left. Buy or sell, Vinny, Rudolph won't be sparky enough, to quote Brian Callahan there, to earn a single win the rest of the way.
I'll sell that. I think they'll get one, but neither one of those guys will be their star. They'll be looking for a quarterback in the draft or somebody else in free agency, but I'm sure that Callahan, after what, the third interception, whatever, he says, no, we're done. We're done with this. Just like Stefanski in Cleveland.
It's been 888-1057. The Fan will come down. Vinny's full breakdown of the Pittsburgh defense. Might be light a little bit, minus TJ Watt, but he practiced limited yesterday. I guess you assume that he'll do everything he can to get on the field Saturday at 4:30, but last week against Philadelphia, there were problemos there. So we'll get into all of that and more. You want to get in with your Steelers hatred? Why? Is it something you grew up learning to do? Is it from, you know, the DNA like me? Well, I didn't start hating the Steelers till the mid-70s. I hated the Yankees from birth, et cetera, et cetera. But you get the point. And if you're a Steeler fan who's from Baltimore, you got some splaining to do. And I want to hear it. Jared Dubin, CBS, going to have some NFL lunch with us at 1.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. It's Steelers Week, Saturday, 4:30 kickoff, M&T Bank Stadium. First place on the line. Ravens have lost 8 of 9 against the Steelers. They're 6.5-point favorites, and that's all well and good, and we'll break it down over the next day and a half or so. But let's start getting into the film breakdown of that Pittsburgh defense. They're coming off a loss at Philly.
Yep.
They're banged up a little bit, and let's get more detailed Vinny's film study.
Yeah, their defensive line. I think the defensive line, Cam Hayward, you know, I mean, he's 35 years old, and he's still a good – he's got 8 sacks. He's a good football player. Why? Because he's good fundamentally. He can play the running, find the football, and he's got some power on the bull rush. And he'll cause some problems. You know, McCary, he's just going to try to push McCary back, and he's got the power. McCary's going to have to play, you know, get underneath pads and have understand leverage. The other guy I like for them, Bob, is Benton. Keno Benton, number 95, he's a good player too. And he's got a little quickness, and he plays good fundamentally. He played good against them last game against the Ravens. Plays good against the run, and he's got some ability to get onto the quarterback too. So those two guys on the inside are good. And then with Highsmith on the outside, I think Highsmith's a good edge setter. And then you know what? On his pass rush, he'll cause Ronnie some problems because of the bull rush. He'll try to bull rush Ronnie, and Ronnie can just sit down and, you know, and keep his leverage. He'll be fine. And on the other side with Watt, who knows with Watt, you know, how what the ankle's going to be like. It's not going to be 100%. Let's just say that. And Rosengarten, you know, I mean, they're going to have to give him some help no matter what. You're going to have to give him some help. And Herbig, 51, he played good against the Ravens the last time when Highsmith was out. He's a littler guy, but he's got speed, and they got to be able to handle that. But their defensive front's pretty good. Patrick Queen's been playing good for them, playing fast, plays fast, finding the football pretty good. And then number 50, Landon Roberts. I don't think he's as good as Peyton Wilson, the rookie. And Peyton Wilson's the one that made the nice interception,
yeah,
you know, in the Ravens game on Justice Hill. So, but Peyton Willis is a good football player. Their secondary, Joey Porter Jr., 24, we've been talking about it. I mean, a lot of times, like against the Eagles, he took A.J. Brown a lot of the time. But he's a grabber. He's a holder. He's a penalty waiting to happen. I mean, he had 6 against Cincinnati, you know, when he's trying to cover Chase and Higgins. So, he tried to cover, well, he had Zay Flowers some of the time last time they played. But with Zay's quickness and stuff, you know, We had Brian Walker, and he said, well, the receivers didn't get open. There was receivers open. Trust me when I tell you, there was receivers open. And
Brian Walker.
Yeah, Brian Walker, yeah. But Porter, he's a good football player, but got 11 PIs in this referee group. They like to call PIs, so we'll see. And I think Dante Jackson, he leads them in interceptions. He's got 5. And Minka Fitzpatrick's a good player. Deshaun Elliott's hurt. So DeMonte Kazee, I think he's the one who's been starting back there. I think they can take advantage of that with their tight ends, you know. And last time they played, Andrews and Likely were heavily involved in the game, you know, and Lamar missed some of the throws to those guys. But overall, defensively, I think they're very good fundamentally. I think they tackle well. I think they do a good job tackling. Now, and I think that the Ravens can run it at them. They just need to have play. I mean, last game that they played, the Ravens had 54 snaps on offense. Pittsburgh had 74. 20 more plays. And in the first half, Ravens are down 9-6 at the half. Ravens had 2 turnovers in positive territory, the 42 and the 19. They had 6 penalties. 0-for-5 on third down, 2 missed field goals, and you're only down 9, and your quarterback was 8-of-18. I mean, to me, that's totally not Ravens-like and not Lamar-like, and they had 8 first downs, and the thing about it was they stopped themselves. Pittsburgh really never stopped them. They stopped themselves. They'd make a play, you know, and Henry'd make a play, and then they'd get a penalty. You know, I mean, then it'd be 1st and 15. I mean, those are the things that hurt the Ravens. You know, is that defense good for Pittsburgh? Yeah. But the Ravens are going to have open receivers. They're going to be able to do things. And I think Lamar's going to carry the ball a lot in this game because those ends, you'll see 51 or 56 or 90. They come crash on that RPO. They crash down, take the back. And then Lamar's going to go. He had 2 of them in that game, and they were both over 10 yards. And I just think that they're going to do that a lot this game. And I think they're going to run the ball more. But, I mean, everybody, you know, you can't complain because they only had 54. They had about 9 minutes in the second half, the Ravens did. 9 minutes. And had a chance to tie the game at the end. So, now, I mean, I think that it's a good matchup for the Ravens if they just do what they're supposed to do. That's the thing. And biggest thing is forget the penalty, you know, and the momentum. I mean, come on. I mean, with the 2 missed field goals, those are momentum changers.
Now, last week against the Eagles, Barkley wasn't running all over them.
No, they had 8 in the box. Bob, they played really good fundamentally, and they put extra guy in the box and stuff. They were gonna stop the run, and they did. And both receivers had over 100 yards, and the quarterback threw for almost 300. So, I mean, that's... You know, they were saying, you know, can Jalen Hurts beat us throwing? And he did.
So how do you attack Baltimore's offense where, you know, Lamar, Henry, and others, obviously, could do some damage to you? As we've said all season long with the Ravens offense, pick your poison. What poison are you going to choose to try to live with here?
Yeah, I think what they're going to try to stop the run. And a lot of times, Bob, they walk their corners up on the wide receivers, and they'll play some cover two and stuff. They'll walk the receivers up. They'll put 8 in the box a lot of the time to try to stop Henry, but they do a really nice job keeping her shoulder square, getting off. The defensive front does a really nice job, and that's where the Ravens O lineman, you got to combo. You want to get big runs from Henry, combo up and get those linebackers. And fun, you know, it's going to come down to who plays better technique, the Ravens O line or the Steelers D line? Because the Steelers D line, they're pretty good, and fundamentally they're good. And are you going to allow penetration? And if not, the Ravens are going to make some plays. I mean, Henry had some nice runs. He had a couple where he gashed them in that game. And they just need more opportunity. They need to run more plays. That's the thing. 54 plays is not going to – they had 30 plays in the first half and had 200 yards. So they're on pace. They weren't scoring points, you know, but they were on pace. They were moving the football.
Now, Jonas Schaefer, who we'll have on tomorrow from the Baltimore Banner, tweeting this out within the last half hour or so. No Bateman at practice today.
Again.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so dealing with a foot, Justice Hill was back, Adafe Owe back, but no Rashad Bateman coming off that big performance against the Giants.
I think that would be big, Bob, because Aguilar's out with a concussion and Bateman would be out. You're down to...
And Deontay Johnson suspended, or they've mutually agreed that he's going to stay away from
You'd be down to Wallace and Tez. That'd be tough. I guess he hurt his foot and walked through. I don't know.
But Rashad Bateman, back-to-back practices. Again, we're 2 days away from kickoff. So a guy who's having a strong season with the Ravens, coming off maybe the best game of his career.
Yeah.
Not around. So a shortage at wideout. Maybe it changes the philosophy, I guess. What do you do? Hey, maybe Likely becomes more of a in-the-slot sort of dude here.
Yeah, well, the tight ends are going to be
Tylan Wallace, who's been taken away from the...
Nah. That's not Bateman. That's the thing.
No.
So that'll be... that would be with Pickens out for them and if Bateman was out for the Ravens. That might be a fast game, Bob. A lot of running, maybe.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan will come back, go to the Fun House, which we missed at last hour. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Talk about what this rivalry between Baltimore and Pittsburgh means to you, even if it goes back like it does for me to the Colts days. Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com. We'll preview week 16 of the NFL season, which starts tonight. Denver taking on the Chargers. We'll do our picks at 1:15. And then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. We'll talk real and fantasy football with him. And if you're a fantasy football performer, you're in your playoffs and hopefully still alive. But Nolan, any commentary for the people since we were kind of pressed last hour?
No. I mean, I've been enjoying reading everyone's hatred. Hatred's good. Get it out. Get it out of the system. I mean, once Saturday's over, we'll have to live with the results, good or bad. We have to settle down and get ready for the holidays. But for now, we can hate. We're allowed to hate.
Let's hear that hate.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, here's an interesting one. Austin in Pasadena says, I think my hatred for the Steelers comes from family and friends around him for most of his life, an inherited hate, if you will. He says he can remember his neighborhood growing up would have a Steeler hate burn party before Ravens-Steelers matchups. Anything black and yellow was going in. Burning stuff.
Don't burn it into your street with a flamethrower, which happened in Anne Arundel County a couple of weeks ago, which is against the law, by the way. But there are, believe it or not, Steelers are one of those teams, like the Yankees and like Duke and
Cowboys.
Like Alabama. Yeah, they got Raiders. They've got this national fan base. I mean, no matter where you go, whatever city you live in, there are Steelers fans. And there are Steeler bars, if I'm not mistaken, in Baltimore. I don't know if there are Ravens bars in Pittsburgh. I have no clue, but I'd be shocked if there were.
No, that's a disease, if you ask me.
That's correct.
Get out of here.
Where's that penicillin shot?
This texter here says, underrated Steelers hatred moment. 2008, Santonio Holmes, the goal line touchdown grab to clench the AFC North in Baltimore. I swear to this day that ball never crossed the line. Total hose job by the refs.
It did not. And the one where was it Antonio Brown where he reached and won over a couple years later, they called it a touchdown on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
That one was way short of the goal line. And I remember I was at WNST at the time. I said, one of my officials can ruin the game spiel. And that was one of those times.
That was a memory. I think I was in the stadium for that one.
That
2008.
That was brutal.
Everyone was as confused as...
As the officials were.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see. This texter here, Jake and Frederick, says, do you see any scenario where Odell Beckham Jr. could reunite with the Ravens or Calais Campbell? Apparently, the Dolphins would be willing to release him to be picked up by a contender, assuming they don't make the playoffs, which looks like that won't be the case.
I think Calais would probably help them more than Odell would right now. You know, because Calais has been making some play. You know, I mean, and he's a big guy, be good against a run, bat balls down. Yeah, I would definitely take Calais. And for Odell,
That would be up to them if they want Odell back or not. You know, I'm guessing with three games to go, is it too big of a distraction?
Hey, given all the injuries, they might use him Saturday, Odell Beckham.
He would know the offense.
Well, they were interested in Campbell, apparently, at the trade deadline.
They had a deal done.
And Miami pulled back, so
yep.
Could make perfect sense. One more text, this one Orioles-related, baseball in general. This texter says, the Yankees have added ace left-hander, batted stud closer, a good outfielder who, even if he doesn't put up Soto's offensive numbers, will certainly play better defense. The Yanks so far, far and above the O's, and unfortunately, I'm sure they aren't finished their spending.
Far and above, no. Let's break them down positionally. We don't have a lot of time. Still have a hole at first base. Bellinger can play there, certainly. Third base, for sure. Volpe, you know, good defender, but, you know, his offense is sketchy, to say the least. Behind the plate, Orioles' advantage. I don't think that that's far and above from a position player standpoint, as people might lead you to believe. Pitching-wise, yeah, they've got a big advantage right now because Corbin Burns signed. He's Gerrit Cole. All right, you got Gerrit Cole pitching. We got Corbin Burns. We can match you. Bring it on. Back end of the bullpen, if the mountain's what he was 2 years ago, and I don't know if he is, match Devin Williams. But right now, positionally, I think the Orioles match them, if not exceed them, in a lot of areas. I mean, Aaron Judge is the reigning MVP. Let's not forget that. But I don't think man for man, swinging bats, they're better than the Orioles at all, quite frankly.
Yeah, definitely offensively. I mean, some months last season where Judge was the only one hitting.
Yeah. I'm going to break out a QF, quite frankly. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. Until I break out the MFs, we'll wait till the season starts for that. We got Jared Dubin joining us for NFL Lunch. We'll look at Week 16 schedule as we do our picks there, which starts tonight. Chargers and Broncos. Then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. We'll talk real and fantasy football with him and other things going on in the world of sports.